And so we come now to October the 9th, and the gospel is the story of the 10 lepers found in Luke 17, starting at verse 12. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Lord, help us to take in what is happening, to receive it, understand it, and to go on our way, because you have made us well. Amen. Why should this passage, selected as the gospel reading, why is it singled out as it is? What's the point of it to us? Well, you need to understand that leprosy is used in the Bible as an illustration, a type for sin. The disease isolated a man from his fellow men. He couldn't approach them. He couldn't enter a town or village. He couldn't go up to worship. In the Middle Ages, when a man in certain parts of Europe was diagnosed with leprosy, he was brought into church dressed in his funeral shroud, and the priest said the funeral service over him, and then he was cast out of all human fellowship. He was a living dead man. And of course, as the disease progressed, he became increasingly disfigured and loathsome. And in the same way, sin separates us from God. We cannot approach him. We cannot worship him. It disfigures us spiritually. It changes us from what God intended at creation. Sin, leprosy of the soul, is universal. All of us are affected, and all of us are separated from God. Such is the doctrine of original sin. Now you notice that the lepers stood at a distance. They dare not approach too close. No sinner dares approach God. And so I reassert that our spiritual condition is universal. In an alternate Old Testament reading for this Sunday, we have the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Assyria. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Assyria. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. He was successful in many areas, but he had leprosy." When I think of the biographies of great men and women that I have read, all of them, if they're honest, in describing these people, all of these people, as successful as they were, as talented as they were, all of them are shown to have fatal flaws. They were this, they were that, but they had leprosy. This leprosy of sin brought them down into the dust. For example, I'm a great admirer of Winston Churchill. Undoubtedly one of the greatest men of the 20th century. And yet, he was also an alcoholic. A man governed by alcohol. A man subjected to dark periods of depression that he himself calls the black dog. And it affected him. None of us are exempt from this curse of original sin. And all of us need healing in order for us to be reconciled to God. Well, in a providential manner, Naaman was guided by God to go and seek out Elisha, the prophet of Israel, and request a cure. So he came to Elisha's house. Elisha told him to go and bathe in the Jordan 7 times. Well, he was offended and he refused, saying, "Why should I bother with that puny little stream when there are far finer rivers in my homeland that could just as well cleanse me?" And there's our problem. We know in our lives that something is wrong within us. Something needs to be put right. Something fundamental to our nature is out of sorts. And yet, when presented with the demand of the gospel, we reject it and we seek alternative cures, alternative gods, gods of other spiritualities or sensuous gods of money and drink and food and pornography and whatever. None of these help. Indeed, they just make it worse. And so, as Naaman was going back to Assyria to bathe in one of his rivers, his men said, "Look, you've come all this way. The man of God has given you a cure, a suggestion. Try it. What have you got to lose?" And so he did, and he was healed. And he knew that it was the God of Israel that cured him. And from then on, he resolved to worship him and him only. Now, let's go back to our 10 lepers. They stood at a distance and begged the Lord to heal them. And Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Jewish law said that if you were a leper and you thought you had been cured, you had to go and consult with a priest who would then certify the cure. 9 of them, being Jewish, understood this. The Samaritan just tagged along. Now, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to the Lord. And he worshipped him. But what of the others? Well, they were healed also. But they were too busy enjoying life in this world. So the first thing about this Samaritan is that he was a hated Samaritan. And it shows us that God's grace extends to Gentiles. And secondly, only to this man of all the 10 does Jesus then say, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." The others were physically healed, they received physical benefits, but not spiritual benefits. Naaman and this Samaritan leper both demonstrated their salvation by worshipping God, but not just any God. They worshipped the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Christ died upon the cross, he offered to us the cleansing from the leprosy of our sin. We all know something is wrong. We know that we need a divine spiritual healing. And Jesus offers this from the cross. But have we received it? I remember with great sadness a woman where I lived in Florida who was the mother of a neighbor who was failing and kept going into hospital, and I went to visit her, and she was thrilled that I would visit her, and she told everybody that I was her pastor, and she would pray with me, and she delighted to pray with me. And the time came when she was failing rapidly, and I went to her one last time and counseled her that she needed someone to carry her sin, to take her sin away from her. And she, in her dying state, was furious with me that I would think she had sin that needed to be cleansed and healed. And she turned her face from me. And the next day, she died. She died. The Lord offered her a cure. She never received it. And when we do receive it, you see, it makes us able to have fellowship with God, and we now desire to worship him. We now desire to offer him all that we have, our souls and our bodies. We now desire to love him and obey him and follow him. The 9 Jewish lepers went to church, recited liturgy, and went home physically well. The Samaritan leper was made physically well, but also spiritually well, and he worshipped Jesus. So what of us? Are we here today in church, reciting liturgy, or are we worshipping, are we offering in love and gratitude all that we are and all that we have? And as we leave here today, when you go from church, shall you hear the Lord Jesus say, "Go your way, your faith has saved you."